Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We're at the AmBank building in Raja Chulan. This is D-Day minus 2 against budget 2023. We are, of course, asking some of the business leaders and institutions about what they think about the economy for the country heading towards the fourth quarter is going to shape up and how next year is going to look like. Joining us for this interview is, of course, the Group CEO of AmBank, Datuk Sulaiman Mohamad Tahir. I first met him many, many years ago as a colleagues back in CIMB. Today, of course, he is helming one of the larger FIs in Malaysia. Very recently, they have just launched an e-wallet in collaboration with Merchant Trade. This embarks on a new journey or heralding a new journey for AmBank, owning an e-wallet service for their consumers as well as prospecting clients. So, Datuk Sulaiman, maybe we can touch a little bit more about that particular topic. It was launched just yesterday here where we are, where we stand right now, or sit. And of course, the conversation is of why embark on an e-wallet? Why not before? Why now? Perhaps tell us a little bit of story there.
Okay, for us, the journey for embarking into any new niche has always been about how do we make it valuable to our customers. And the teaming up with Merchant Trade, kind of give us the opportunity, because one thing is that e-wallet is everywhere and everybody's using it, and there must be a reason why you want to use e-wallet apart from using your debit card or credit card. And teaming up with Merchant Trade is really about how do we create access, more access to customers to be able then to operate their account with us through a third party. And collaboration, as you know, is one of our strategy. And I think what I like about the Merchant Trade initiative is that it's not just about e-wallet doing the spending, there's an add-on. One thing is that when we work with Merchant Trade, the intention is also to give access to customers to have access to foreign currency, especially with the current volatile environment. And we have been working on this. And Merchant Trade has got the largest range of foreign currency account, I think, in Malaysia. They would have 20 foreign currencies, including the local currency, 21 currencies. And what it means is that when you have this wallet, you can actually bring in Malaysia ringgit, but at the same time, you can then transfer into the many currencies that's available. On top of that, the good thing is that we try to make the wallet, a kind of a larger size. And then today, if you look at the wallets available out there, I think the limit is about 20,000, probably max.
Yeah.
But by linking it to a savings account with AmBank or AmIslamic in this instance, then the limit can be much larger.
Of course, making this a Sharia product altogether.
Yeah, because it's a Sharia compliant product. And clearly, you can then increase that wallet size to 50,000. And you can make it very similar, transfer of money between the wallet and the account. And when you go into the Merchant Trade portal, you can actually also open an account with AmBank.
This of course, is consistent with so many other items that you are launching or have been announcing, including empowering SMEs, including green financing. I just want to recap in terms of how you would shape AmBank in your vision in the fourth quarter and, of course, the entire next year. What would be some of the key highlights or key components that you think is important for you to share with the public right now in terms of your focus moving ahead?
Now, if you look at AmBank, we've got a strategy put in place.
Okay.
I think for the first 4 years when we started trying to revamp in the way that we drive the business, it was clearly the top four strategy, focusing on the four areas that we wanted to focus on, selective segments, and we look at SME, affluent, high affluent, mid corps, and then we look at certain products that we're strong at. We also retain the things that we're good at, and also it's about growing the people. Now, the second 4 years is really about focusing on the eight areas, and the eight areas that we want to grow. Clearly, I just go through the highlights of the areas.
Yeah.
SME is a big piece for us. And SME is a growing business as well. And because of that, if you look at ever since we embarked on the top four strategy, we've got, probably among all banks, the highest growth from an SME perspective. Because SME comprise about 97% of the business out there, and clearly a driving force for Malaysian private businesses as a whole. And to say that everybody does SME, everybody will say they do SME, but the difference with us is that when you do SME, in the way that we look at it, it's really about looking at that particular segment in terms of its needs and requirements. Contoh dia, we look at clearly the segment that we want to go for, and then we look at the process that we want to approach that particular segment, and we also have the products. And we also then create the channels dedicated to that group. And when you get an alignment between product, channel, segment, and you understand the demographics of the business that you are serving or doing, and then you have a solid value proposition. And sometimes the thing with the sense media treated like corporates. Corporates, you have full visibility of everything.
That's right.
With corporates, you have financial controllers and what have you.
Yeah, but
with SMEs, they don't.
Yeah.
A lot of things has to do with understanding behavior. A lot of things to do with the risk we're taking. A lot of things has to do with the RMs that are servicing them.
And internally, how do you still structure it? Is there such a thing called enterprise banking or business banking?
Yes.
And internal reorganization, how does that fit with your focus aid structure?
Yeah. So if you look at our organization, we have our large corporation team, which clearly focus on the larger corporations, which have everything in place, financial controllers, cash management solution, the whole works.
Yeah.
We also have the mid-tiers. The mid-tier is what called business banking. Mm. A large component of the customers that our mid-tier punya division serve is SME. Mm. And they've done a good job. And if you can see, we have got 26 centers out there. And on top of that, we have the larger SME centers, which is about 16 of them. Mm. And on top of that, we also have branches looking at certain products for SMEs. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look at when we started this journey, our SME portfolio is only 14 billion. Today, we are 24 billion. We grew 10 billion in the last five to 6 years.
Wow.
And if you look at in terms of growth, though, we are the largest, we have the largest growth in absolute amount.
Yeah.
Which means that we are taking market share from other banks, but at the same time, we're also growing with the business that's growing, like SME as a whole.
Okay, so your focus aid strategy, highlights that I can see earlier was illustrated as digitization, SMEs, and many more. And of course, it's not mutually exclusive with each other. A lot of SMEs are trying to digitize themselves. How are you trying to empower SMEs in terms of not just digitizing themselves and bringing them more financial inclusiveness in terms of products, but just helping them grow per se?
Okay. I mean, we always look at SME apart from just availing financing. We call it beyond financing approach. Maksudnya, the thing is we don't just focus on, availing you financing through our RMs, but rather how can we help to create more successful SMEs?
Yeah.
And one way to create more successful SMEs is to grow them. Mm. And one of the things that our initiative have done in the last 6-7 years is really creating a platform for SMEs. We call it the M-Bank Biz Race.
Okay.
And the M-Bank Biz Race may sound like a competition, but the intention is to give exposure to SME, a platform for them to debate, to discuss, to understand things. Mm-hmm. And some of the themes that we have for the M-Bank Biz Race include things like ESG, halal, how to do a better business, and we get thought leadership. We bring thought leadership into it, i.e. leaders who have grown their businesses from small to become larger corporations today, and they went through a phase of growth under SME, and they give actually their ideas, how they see things. Mm. And we allow SMEs to come and participate. Mm. I think so far we have about maybe 13 to 14,000 SMEs who attended these sessions. And we talk about things even about digitization. How do you digitize your business? Mm. And we talk about things like, for example, ESG. And the whole idea is to grow and educate them. And we have a competition that runs. And what we'll do is we'll pick the top 100 SMEs. For example, who's got who wants to enter a sub competition where they showcase their business to the gurus in the field, and then we run them through a scoring methodology, and the top 10 SMEs, they reward them, and we reward them to, for example, trips to businesses that that's successful out there, whether it's in China, whether it's in the US, whether it's in UK, and they have a first hand experience of understanding and interacting with the people who run it, so that they can learn. The intention is, it's very easy sometimes to participate in a business, but it's more difficult when you want to run a successful business. There's a lot of disciplines required, a lot of understanding what you do, a lot of understanding what is your CVP, which is important. It's when you have that thing aligned and then you have the system to support it, then you can have a successful
but
business.
But do they feel hurt? Do they feel that they're being serviced? What about the relationship management that you have with your business banking clients or SME clients? Are they able to reach out to their people within the bank so that they can continuously be serviced?
Yes. There are different types of SME out there. And a certain requirement for the smaller SMEs would require simpler products.
Yeah.
And that's driven through the branches.
Yeah.
For that, we have 200 over SME relationship managers. Mm. And then for the slightly more, the bigger SME, the more sophisticated, where they require a bit of trade finance, but still a program, we have the enterprise banking team. Mm. And then for the bigger SMEs, more sophisticated, we have the commercial banking teams. Mm. So there is a graduation process, and we treat our branch as, you know, the interface with all businesses out there. And when they reach out to the SMEs, the relationship manager at the branches, they're in a position to actually to gauge the size of the business, the kind of business they do, and be able then to be assigned the right managers to handle their requirements. Okay. And then that's been very, very successful for us. And we have a different process. For example, the turnaround for for a small business. For example, we can say end-to-end within 7 days. For example, you come, you talk to us, by the time we do process and disburse your loans within 7 days. Mm. Of course, for the larger corporations, it can go to up 2 weeks, because there's a bit more sophistication that's required. Mm. And the smaller business, they want fast turnaround. Mm. And for things like simple, like business premises, shop house, we can turn around within 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, so again, as I said, because if you can align the process to the segment and make sure the product that they require is what they want and turn it around very fast, you should be able to get that business. Mm. Kadang-kadang the problem with us is that we take it as though, you know, every SME is like a large company, we expect a lot of things, documentation and everything else.
It kind of
slow the turnaround. Yeah. And because of, I just want a business premises.
But I understand you are still bound by regulation, of KYCs course. And the likes.
Of course.
But simplifying it is actually on you. It's not
correct.
On, say, Bank or the likes.
Correct.
And because of that, the ability for you to garner new businesses really depends on how you improve on your internal processes.
Correct, yeah.
So, Dato' Sulaiman, we're talking in a scenario where the budget is going to be presented in just a few days from now. Businesses are a little bit more worried than most. When I started my career in FI, you were there already at CIMB, but I joined at 2008, another round of volatility. Here, 2022, another round of volatility. You are an old hand at this. People know you as the man who knows distribution channels, who knows retail, who knows business banking. And the most important thing is you know how the market conditions look like. Are you worried about next year?
I mean, if you look at this year, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, you know, I see it's a 360-degree turn, completely different, 180-degree what it was before.
And 300 same
yes, point. Yes, maksudnya, when during the pandemic, I mean, there's no visibility. We don't know what to do, clearly, because there's no vaccination. Once upon a time, business completely come to a standstill.
Yeah.
There's no business to be done.
Yeah.
Now, post-pandemic, we started to kind of open up the economy, I think when they left sometime in November last year.
Yeah.
You know, it's a complete change. We see a lot of activity. The pent-up demand is happening. People are spending and hotels are open and now it's even fully booked. Mm. You know, people are gainfully employed. You know, you can see workers everywhere. You know, and that's a good thing. And the other good thing I'm seeing is that, you know, there's a lot of expansion of activities. I can see loan pipelines. I can see warehousing picking up. People, because of the pandemic, because of the supply chain disruption, people investing in warehouses, they need a bigger warehouse to store things.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the E&E business happening. There's a lot of relocation. Mm. I can see Chinese investments. I can see Taiwanese. So it's a plus. And when you look at the actual growth in exports, because the weaker currencies, it'll be very strong. Mm. Volume as well as value. And because of that, if you look at the GDP growth itself, you know, it has been very strong in the second quarter, and I think the situation will continue.
It's interesting that you're very bullish, or it sounds like you're very bullish about next year. This is, of course, a contrarian view held by many from the people that I speak to. What drives this whole optimism in your mind? Also, what would be some of the key factors that you're looking at? Is inflation one of them? Is unemployment one of them?
Yeah. I mean, clearly, when I look at it, it's the activities. The activities prior to the action. For example, you know, an investment in a new warehouse or investment in a new plant or manufacturing, you know, it begins with you have to make sure that you know your business that you want to do and process it a bit of time. Now that you come, by the time you come to the bank, you know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And then now that you've come to the bank to apply for facilities, that means you're retaking a kind of a position. And to take position, that means you know what business you're going to do over the next 3-4 years.
Mm.
And it has not come to terms yet. Yeah? Maksudnya, it'll be coming over the next 1 or 2 years.
Mm.
And because of that, you know, I'm confident in that sense that when they come to fruition, it's going to be even much better. But I admit that the environment out there is very uncertain. You can see the interest rate hikes that's happening out there. And I know that, you know, Malaysia, because you know, for us, it's important that to keep also inflation in check.
Yeah.
Because what's fueling inflation is a cost push, but also of a demand thing, and hence there's concern about growth. But because the activities already happened and there's a lot of relocation, a lot of activities, my view is that you know, whether it could be a recession or not. My sense, it may not be a recession, but what's going to happen is probably a slowdown because people, you know, because of the sentiments, the feeling, may kind of slow down activities. But we come from a high growth. Huh? If you look at second quarter, GDP is more than 8%.
Yeah.
If you look at third quarter, yeah, it's going to be even more as a result.
So potentially this year is going to be 6% average over four quarters.
And even a 4.5 to 5% growth expected next year, which I'm seeing, it's considered still good, you know.
Okay. And with this in mind, what would be some of the items that you're looking forward to learn in this budget as presented by Tengku Dato' Zafrul? Also, what would be some of the wish list that you hope is inside the budget?
I hope, you know, the government can spend more on things like, you know, education. That's one. I think it's important because that, you know, kind of reset foundation for us. I think that's something that's that looking forward to. Health is clearly a space. You know, helping SMEs. Mm. I think it's an area that they can do a lot more. Helping them in digitization, helping them to upgrade. You know, incentives for expansion because. You know, particularly with the recent increase in wages, you know, is there a way that somehow you can help them in terms of the incentives, you know, on wages as they employ people? I would also like to see in areas of particularly ESG, you know, how to help, you know, migrate, you know, businesses and encourage them to go into, you know, carbon neutral or, you know, carbon reduced activities. And things like, you know, carbon neutrality or carbon, it's already a mission of the country. Mm. But the question is if we can help or incentivize or, you know, work on transition incentives, you know, for the these businesses, it will certainly encourage it. Because at the end of the day, you know, sometimes you need to invest before you can do that conversion. But then what's incentive for the investment? And clearly, if you want to drive ESG, it's got to kind of be driven centrally. And one way to drive centrally is to give clarity and incentives to the business out there.
Okay, so tying this back to your business, because of all this volatility that's happening, but the economic activities that's picking up and against a stronger growth rate, and of course you're saying that some uncertainties do stay on the horizon, how do you try to tie this in with your Focus 8 strategy? And perhaps what would be some of the challenges that you need to navigate internally in order for you to best serve your own clients?
Clearly, one of the things that we are doing is that when we have a lot of clients going for expansion, because the weaker ringgit has its pluses, export-oriented businesses are picking up. And one of the things that we're working with developers is to actually help them to, you know, improve their capacity and drive their efficiency.
Yep.
And to do that, sometimes they need to relocate.
Yep.
And when their business expand, they will need working capital because, you know, the cost of import can be has increased because of the exchange rate. But at the same time, exports has improved for them, and it means that net is positive. They make money, they want to expand, and we'll provide them
But the currency is the issue right now. Yeah. Ringgit depreciation might be a big problem for them to manage. Okay. Does that factor in into your analysis?
I mean, two sides of the coin. One is cost by virtue of imports. Mm. One is improved exports by virtue of the weaker currency.
Mm.
And because of the weaker currency, you find that, you know, suddenly Malaysia become an attractive place to invest.
Yeah.
Same time, you know, suddenly you become more competitive.
Yeah.
And then you offset it against your cost. And because we are not necessarily going to save 100% of your materials on an import, then you have that hedge, you know, in the sense that you have a weaker currency for export, some are import, some are local, you locally assemble, local cost. And because of that, you still have the advantage. And when you have the advantage, then the question is, how do you take of the advantage? What you do is expansion. Okay. And that's what we're seeing. You know.
The idea of a strategy is for you to have a blueprint on the items and the activities that you need to do over the next few years. And of course, trying to inspire your own people to stay on point on this particular idea of yours. It's also important for you to modify, tweak, adjust, pivot a little bit on some of the strategies that you need to work on in order to fit the current circumstances and current market conditions. What would be some of the ideas that you want to share with us in terms of the tweaking that you have to do in order for you to deliver the end goal of your Focus 8 strategy?
I mean, one of the two things that's important is one is digitalization, and that will continue to happen, i.e. internally we have been driving digitalization in the bank to make it more efficient, cheaper cost for the customers, creating access to financing for our customers. The other part is how to help them to transit, bearing in mind that ESG is going to be the way that business is going to be run. How do we help them, either from a financing perspective, advisory? And then the other thing is that because the cost to serve now is so much lower having digital, question is how can we reach out to more customers? You know, because today, you know, it's no more about how many branches that you have.
I have to ask this. Are you going to into TikTok and all the other stuff?
So we're going to do a lot more collaboration, like we do with Merchant Trade.
Okay.
With Merchant Trade, it's not just ending at working on, you know, having a wallet, but the question is, what are the customers that Merchant Trade is servicing?
Okay.
And what's the potential for us to work with those customers? And
okay.
They could be, you know, smaller businesses, microfinancing, they could be individual, they could
be...
They could be drivers or gig economy workers.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's potential for us to see how do we, now that we are in the, on the platform of Merchant Trade, you can open an account of MBank on Merchant Trade, can we do a lot more?
So the classical theory of segmenting your customers is that you have retail and you have business, and within retail you have the mass market, you have the mass affluent, the high net worth and all that. But with the gig economy situation coming in, when you have salaried workers having senior bahats, for instance, is that classical way of segmenting archaic already? Perhaps a new way of segmenting your customers might be a little bit different. Your enterprise banking business, also your, you know, private banking business, that kind of stuff?
Correct. Because with the gig economy, is that the thing is you don't have a payslip, right? And you don't have
a bank account
for that matter.
Yeah.
So I think wallets sometimes play
huge
a role. And because of that, with the gig economy, a lot is relying on behavioral. You know, the way that you spend and the way that you conduct your wallet. And it's quite transparent, right?
Yes.
So you'll know. So you'll know basically what comes in, what goes out.
And then credit assessment,
yes,
I guess.
And then it's a question of proxy for income.
Exactly.
Then when you do that, then you have this issue of, you know, what can you afford, right? Because at the end of the day, you've got to be responsible. What can you afford? Then availing what's required. And bearing in mind, you know, lending is not just about, you know, people bending, you know, taking lending to buy flat screen TVs. If we're talking about expansion of your business, you know, a goreng pisang seller, for example, want to expand.
Mm.
And how can they access financing? Let's say RM1,000, RM2,000, you know, because they've got demand now.
Mm.
How can I help them? And you may not have the income, but if you have a wallet or you do your activities, for example, through one of the platforms out there, surely we can work something out with you. You know?
That's also important. It seems like you're alluding to the fact that some of your own people might have to be enablers to folks that might not necessarily be too savvy in terms of getting financial assistance. If you have a business that is familiar with documentation, with the kind of products that they want, they go and they know what they want. It's just satisfying the documentation.
Correct.
There are many, many more businesses Correct. That needs financing or aid or assistance or some channel distribution and many more, but not necessarily have the wherewithal to get it done.
Correct.
Does that mean that your people have to be that problem solver solution attitude to your clients?
You could say that, but I think systems helps a lot in that. Because if you look at it, I mean, there is a need for banks.
You know,
by true that if you look at banks' historical way of conducting business, always focusing on people who has the money, the rich.
Yeah.
And if you look at the population, the bankable population of Malaysia, maybe that will be what, maybe 25% of those. Then the rest are probably, you know, the smaller
the
businesses.
Lah, yes.
Then the question is, how do you reach out to these people?
Yeah.
Right? And the way to reach out to these people is, of course, with the digitization, people are seeing it, activities happening, and it's not just about banks, they have wallets. You know, we can actually see these activities. And when you see this, it's a chance for us then to play a role here and to reach out to them as much, because the RMs can be quite expensive to manage accounts.
Yeah,
by virtue that, you know, cost per transaction and what have you, but digital gives you an opportunity to lower cost to serve.
Okay.
And you can reach out. And now you can easily take $1,000 loan, $2,000 loan, you know, from a system. And the cost
how much are you investing in terms of improving, maintaining your systems, your IT, and trying to bring new technology for your customers?
I mean, today, as it is, you know, we spend close to $150 million a year just on making sure that we do the fixes, we do the upgrades, and when we do on embarking of a system like our Project Orion, is really to have a better understanding of customer, collecting transaction data.
Yeah.
I mean, just this the software plus the implementation alone is before the running cost about $50 million.
Oh.
So it's not cheap, but remember we're talking about 75% of the population opportunity for us to understand them better.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's no more just about what you give us. It's about how we can see you, you know, as a micro business, as a medium-sized business, and be able to have, a better predictability to be able to help you to grow. You know?
So if we see some business owners watching us, listening in on this conversation, what would be some of the two or three things that you want to share with them in order for you to impress upon them that you are really, really trying to solve their needs?
I think the way I look at it, I mean, banks, sometimes they're scared. to see bankers lah. I would say like that because you know they say they don't have the info lah.
Takut lah.
But my view is that you should. I mean, with us, I think we have many channels. We have smaller businesses which we can go to the branches to have a look at it. And I think our website is pretty friendly. You can even open account online. You know, i.e. with the intervention of the branches. But my advice to them is that reach out, and you know, digitization, selling online is going to be in the norm, and they must expose themselves. You know, don't be afraid, because by virtue that because at the end of the day, it's all about digital information. And the more you are in it, I mean, the better you are, you know, in terms of being able to get what's available for you, at least from MBank. Because for us, we are interested not just about, you know, what you can give us, but what we can see of you when you do your business, i.e. have an account, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it's a wallet, or whether it's a savings or current account.
Yeah, start with the first step.
Yes, start with the first step, because you don't keep your money under bantal and use it, because you must think your business is a long term. It's not about surviving, it's also about growing.
And then for investors or analysts that are currently watching us right now, what would be some of the messages that you want to reach out to them in terms of the profitability, bringing your NPL ratio down, bringing your CI ratio down, but at the same time, bring your top line up? How would you speak to them?
I honestly, the post-pandemic effect I'm seeing, at least in MBank, you know, it has been good. The reprieve that we gave during the pandemic period, the moratorium, you know, has resulted to a lot of business being able to cope. And if you look at post-pandemic, if you look at the moratorium, well, I won't call it moratorium, the help that we gave, once upon a time was about 50% of the population. Today it's come down to a small number of only like 10 million for individuals.
You mean the reprieve of loan repayments?
Yes, so which is good. And the good thing is that the repayment has been on time. 96% of the business out there are paying their
Does it surprise you?
I'm surprised because the reprieve has helped them. And furthermore, the picking up of the economy has been good for them. And because of that, you know, they have been having zero arrears as far as payment goes.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. Which is a good thing. And the bank has been intact. That means we can continue to lend.
Yeah.
The worry about the pandemic is the bank is affected. You can't lend.
And therefore you can't lend, and therefore the economy stalls.
So which means access to financing is good, if not even better than before.
Fantastic. Again, you're very bullish about next year. It's amazing. Are you bullish about the budget that's going to present? Where are you going to be during the budget presentation?
Yeah, I'm going to be here now, you know. So, yes, you know, I mean, I'm looking forward to some of the incentives, particularly in the areas that, you know, that we want to see, clearly ESG, education, SME, you know, infrastructure and health. So it's nice to have that because those are fundamentals, you know. And I think I'm seeing a lot of pickup in these spaces as well. So it's nice to kind of facilitate the growth of the economy, like.
Fantastic. What a way to end. Thank you, Datuk, for taking the time to speak with us. That was Datuk Sulaiman Mohamad Tahir, the Group CEO of MBank. If you missed any part of this interview, just head on to astra1.com. Look for MBank, look for Notepad, look for Niaga Awani. Also, do stay with us on October 7th as we present to you the budget presentation from morning till night, only on Astra1. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.